These hands have scrubbed the bathroom sinks of the Iona Abbey. They have wiped down bathroom mirrors with old newspapers, set and cleared tables, and chopped enough Swedes, aka rutabagas, to feed a crowd of spiritual pilgrims. And it was all very ordinary. Let me get the first picture. Iona is a tiny island in Scotland that has been seen as a holy place for more than a millennium. The founder of the Iona community we know today called it a thin place, where only tissue paper separates the material from the spiritual. An Irish monk by the name of Columba landed on this already inhabited island with 12 disciples, if you will, in the year 563. They built a mission outpost there from which they sought to attract people to the gospel by their way of life, their care for all, and the preaching and practice of their faith. It was not long after St. Columba's death that pilgrims started coming to be near the relics of this holy man, and the island has been experienced for centuries and centuries as a place where heaven comes near in a particular way. When you hear anyone speak of the Iona community today, this was founded in 1938 by George MacLeod, and is a dispersed Christian ecumenical community working for peace and social justice, rebuilding of community, and the renewal of worship. The abbey on the island of Iona was rebuilt from a 13th century Benedictine monastery ruins back in the 1940s, and is the central place of hospitality on behalf of this community of people that lives across the world, living out a shared rule of life wherever they are. So the community that I came together with at Iona during my sabbatical was a community of pilgrims. The actual members of the community who choose to commit to a shared way of life are living throughout the UK and in other countries. John Bell and his Wild Goose Resource Group friends are primarily based in Glasgow. I was welcomed into the Abbey with my fellow travelers by resident staff who are there for a couple of years, or volunteers who come just for a few months. I knew before I went that the Iona community is different than what might come to mind as a religious community with a rule of life. I knew it was a scattered community with people in all different congregations and denominations. But it was still something different to see what it actually looked like. At the end of my first week, I waved off at the jetty the people who had been with me. And when I returned to the Abbey a day later to become part of a second group for a second week, I found that suddenly I was the one who was at home, a familiar face to the staff and volunteers and helping new guests find their way. And each week, as we were welcomed into the Abbey, we were immediately assigned to a work group and then given a specific job for the week to contribute to keeping the place clean and running smoothly, like scrubbing sinks. Some of the jobs were more social. When I chopped vegetables, I got to know the kitchen staff. And some were more solitary. No one else would have fit into the tiny bathrooms I was cleaning. And as I said before, our daily task time was all pretty ordinary. The Iona sinks did not seem any holier than my sinks in Hamilton. I learned that it does actually work to take an old piece of newsprint to wipe a mirror clean and dry, but I'll probably still stick to paper towels at home. What does any of this have to do with John 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. John takes us back to those old words, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Gospel of John draws our eye to that first image of who we understand God to be. A God who is present before all, in all, making it all. And in this bit of text that is often called the prologue to John, the gospel writer is setting us up for who Jesus is. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. John is about to tell us the story of Jesus, but he wants us to understand that this story has always been in the making. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the creative word from God's mouth, "Let there be light." In the beginning was the Word, the law that would bind God's people to God's heart. In the beginning was the Word of grace upon grace. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. There's one depiction of that here. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word of creation, of light, of life, became flesh that we could see and smell and poke in the side for those who aren't really sure he's real, and lived among us. And sometimes when the crowds were gone and everyone was healthy and no one was out of wine and there sat Jesus with his students, sometimes I think it was probably ordinary. Ordinary conversations and blisters from the road and somebody's got to do the dishes. We may find thin places in our world where we are more prepared to be more aware, more attuned to the presence of God. But despite George MacLeod's quote, there's never actually so much as a piece of tissue paper between what might be called spiritual and material, because the Word became flesh and lived among us. Even in our ordinary scrubbing of sinks, wiping of mirrors, and cooking of dinner, the Word became flesh and lived among us. You may picture me at Iona in the soaring arches. Whoa, I went ahead of myself. I missed a picture. There. In the soaring arches of the Abbey Church, singing John Bell's Justice songs and Tese chants. Or gazing at stone crosses that are centuries old. Walking a labyrinth by the edge of the sea. Or being led in a ritual of letting go and moving on. And all of this would be true, and are meaningful stories I may share another day. But one of those mind-boggling things about the grace upon grace that we have received is that the Word became flesh and lived among us, not only in the depths where we need it especially, but also in all of our ordinary places in order to bring extraordinary grace. Your thin place, where you suddenly catch a glimpse of the life and light of the fullness of God, might be your ordinary walk to work past a flower bed that changes every week. It might be your morning routine of coffee, yoga, and 3 minutes of naming what you're thankful for. It might be that first deep breath of quiet at the end of the day, just before bedtime. One of our Mennonite Church Canada Assembly speakers, Cindy Wallace, just wrote a blog post about getting back to the mundane after everything that had happened in Saskatoon 2 weeks ago. And she wished us hope in the mundane with this reflection. She said, "Yesterday I swept the kitchen 3 times before lunch and changed a dozen diapers. In the last 6 weeks, I've never slept more than 3 hours at a stretch. But sometimes I catch glimpses of the people my children are becoming, and the radiance of those possibilities leaves me breathless. My mundane care allows two new humans to flourish. Behold, I want to crow sometimes, new creation. God is likewise at work on a new creation, forming and reforming a covenanted people, reconciling all things. The Word became flesh and lived among us. In all of the ordinary, this is grace upon grace upon grace. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. Sometimes I don't recognize Jesus enlightening my world, especially not when I'm doing the dishes, especially not when I'm emptying the cat litter. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Even when my Saturday plans are to organize my basement, even when I'm checking my receipts to my credit card bill, we have been given power to become children of God. And that is a name that we wear in every place. Whether it's a day that we see right through that tissue paper to the true light enlightening the world, or if our day is feeling a little too ordinary for that. There is no place too ordinary for the extraordinary grace of Jesus to move into the neighborhood. I'd like to end with a poem that I found this week in this book that I just got by Willard Swartley, one of my seminary professors at AMBS. This poem is by Pamela Graf Short, and it's called Prologue of John, A Song of Invitation and Grace. In the beginning was the Word. Word sings us an ancient song of unrelenting hope, unrelenting love, of fresh hope, of painful rejection. We are invited to join the song. We are invited to receive, to believe, and to become children of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God in life, with God in light, with God in truth, with God in glory, with God in grace upon grace. All things came into being through Word. All things, all persons, all planets, all stars, all animals, all creatures of the sea, all grains of sand, all seeds, all teardrops, all sounds, all the shades of blue, all the sources of thread, wool on the back of a lamb, and silk from a worm, and cotton from a thorny plant, and polyester from an oil can, all came into being through Word. Without Word, not one thing came into being. Not one thing can say it came on its own. Not you or I. Not a comedian or a chemist or a king. Not John Calvin or Menno Simons or Martin Luther. Not Mother Teresa or Billy Graham or even John the Baptist. John the Baptist and all things stand as witnesses. John the Baptist and all things join the song. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. True light, penetrating light. Light shining through my shame, my envy, my dullness, my shadows, my lostness, my shallowness, my fear, my ego, my distraction, my hostility, my pain. True light, penetrating light. Light shining into my center, into my goodness, into my capacities, to bring life, to speak truth, to communicate glory, to offer grace upon grace, to become children of God. Yet the world did not know Word. Word's own people did not accept Word. Word was not received. And thus the song became a moan. And the moan, a whimper. And the whimper, a wail, like a little babe left hungry and cold, the birth song of the humble one, the rejected one, the one who enters our pain. Yet to all who receive word, word gives authority to become children of God. From word's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Word does not stop calling us. Word does not stop believing in us. Word does not stop revealing the Father's heart to us. Full of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. We are all invited to receive, to believe, and to become children of God. Amen.